Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Are you ready for Jenna? Some dad rock, since you're a dad? Speaking of young fathers and old fathers, today I'm going to be reviewing the Paul Simon,
A little dadder than I am, actually, but yeah, sure, okay. But Paul Simon, as in the balladeer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so this is a biography.
See what I did there? I didn't use the other guy's name because I just wanted Paul Simon to receive the spotlight.
The glory. Deserved,
as deserved.
Yeah. This poor man with short man syndrome. But so this is written by Robert Hillman, and he is he's on the nominating committee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and so I think he's got all the ins with people. Yeah. And he's really well known for this, the Johnny Cash The Life memoir. So this is Paul Simon. He's never had an authorized biography written about him before, and Robert spent 60 hours interviewing Paul and had full access to his friends.
Full access to
and
friends.
Colleagues. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing, that, but yeah, still good.
So I guess what do you think about Paul Simon?
I think he's really, really. I don't listen to him a lot, obviously, or very much at all. But he's an amazing songwriter. You know, there's nothing about him I dislike particularly. You know,
I find he has this kind of like little bit of a stigma around him.
People, he definitely does.
And people sort of go, "Ooh, Paul Simon."
There's a lot of mythology around him being not so nice to the people he works with.
Yeah, totally.
Whether or not that's someone he's worked with as much as Simon, like Art Garfunkel, or Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who feature prominently on Graceland.
So I think Paul Simon, you know, I definitely have grown up with his music, and
everyone has, mate. You're like, you can't escape it, really.
Yeah, and it's those decades of new albums that appeal to a new audience.
Which is always blown my mind a wee bit, is that they were so massive when they were, you know, Simon and Garfunkel.
Tiny, rose to fame so quickly, like just started pulling in the big bucks quickly.
And it doesn't seem to have, like, turned them into too different a person musically,
just
seems to continually exploring. I kind of appreciate that,
but I feel like, yeah, so he's always obviously worked with Art Garfunkel, but the thing that I was really interested in was the Graceland stuff, because that was the album that meant the most to me, or the one that resonated with me a lot.
Everyone talked about it at the time, about how it was such a radical thing for him to do, but it seemed pretty cool. I remember, maybe it's just because I was that age, and sort of, you know, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, total road trip album. Yep. Of the early late 80s, early 90s. And so I was, you know, the book kind of just builds up this defense of it right in the beginning. So, like, in the introduction, this is where Paul Simon started getting interested in world music, you know. So it is this kind of leading up to this Graceland thing. And so I think the album is problematic in some ways. For me, I think it's mostly that they didn't stick with the cultural boycott. Like, he just went into South Africa and recorded when he wasn't, quite secretly. And then, of course, there's the cultural appropriation and stuff. So I quite liked getting up to that bit, but, you know, it's all in his favour and sort of cuddling him in that.
We're hoping to throw a few knitting needles in there and just stab him a few times.
What's the famous myth that after he won lots of Grammys and got loads of money and so on and so forth, someone who represented Ladysmith Black Mambazo and some of the musicians who played on the record in South Africa called him up and went, "Hey, so do we get a cut?" And apparently he laughed and hung up the phone.
Really? Yeah.
So the story goes.
There's so much hearsay around
it. Why did that story get out?
I don't know. So I think some of the criticisms maybe after reading this may be slightly misinformed, but then I've only been reading like one side of the story. But what this book put me onto was this amazing documentary called Under African Skies. It came out in 2012 and it's free to watch online. And that brings Paul Simon back to Graceland. Oh, no, back to, sorry, South Africa. And he meets up with the musicians, and he also meets up with...
Do they say anything then about it?
Well, the musicians actually seem pretty happy in the documentary, but they put him in a room with Dali Tambo, who's the head of Artists Against Apartheid, and so the whole narrative of the documentary is based around this conversation that they have telling their sides of the story.
Wow.
It's really, really good. So I mean, I think with this bio, like, he's got this huge 50-year career. Bono's quoted on the back.
He's the full quote on the back. That's the first thing I saw.
So it's like a true, you know, dad rock bio. You'd never really get to the heart of Paul Simon because he's so cagey. Such a cagey guy, and he doesn't want to talk about his family and doesn't want to talk about his kids. And so, you know, it's kind of missing that autobiography, like, first voice type.
This is the only way I view the world, so I'm just going to jump in here and say Paul Simon does a Muppet show. And even on the Muppets, where it's apparently you had a huge chance to rewrite the script to reflect who you wanted to be around these puppets, he's quite an ugly person. Like, he rocks on in and steals all of Gonzo's chickens because his songwriting is so good.
Like the Pied Piper.
Yeah, and doesn't want to give them back. And then just kind of sits in his dressing room going, yeah, well, my song is about Gonzo, so suck it.
Oh, Paul.
Gonzo gets a rough gig, doesn't he?
But I love this kind of stuff with Art Garfunkel. They've just, you know, this rocky relationship over time, and there was that Paul Simon. I remember, I don't know if you guys being like, when you listen to Paul Simon
I think
you're
saying, I don't know if you guys ever feel like you guys are like Simon. Yeah. Sarah and I.
But do you ever remember someone going, oh, the ginger guy, he doesn't write the songs, it's the other guy you don't really see, and there's a lot of stuff behind
it. All I know is that they sung a song to a lamppost.
Also, again, sorry, I'm full of like scuttlebutt today. So Paul Simon wrote a song for Art Garfunkel to sing called Goodbye Frank Lloyd Wright, right?
Mm.
Art Garfunkel also trained as an architect, and the rumour is that instead of being like, hey, I don't want to be in a partnership with you anymore, he wrote a song about saying goodbye to an architect, made him sing it, and then went, yeah, nah, I'm leaving.
Wow.
Yeah, controversial. Ooh. But, I mean,
there's a term people use for that.
You can't
reclaim that term.
You can't say that he's not a great songwriter, and I think he's just got this tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And it's even the same with the Graceland stuff. It's like, he's like, but art is art, and we're collaborating, and who cares about politics? It's kind of like Springbok Tour stuff. Like, you know, we've just got to make it for the art, and then it's like, no.
There seems to be a telephone call coming through. Let's see if it's relevant.
Okay.
BFM, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mikey. Hey, I'm just talking about Paul Simon and him on The Muppet Show. Have you seen him on Sesame Street?
I've only seen snippets. I haven't seen the whole episode.
Sesame Street. He belittles the little kid that he's singing a song with. Yeah,
he
doesn't work well with children. They're singing one of his songs, and the child wants to sort of make his own sort of version up, and Paul Simon very abruptly cuts him off and says, you know, like, basically, this is how we're going to sing it.
That's exactly what happens on The Muppet Show as well. He can't.
He can't
be magnanimous even for a child or a puppet.
Whichever one of those was second, they must have let him do that just to prove a point, to go, look what a wanker he is. Exactly.
He's a very controlling guy, I think.
Oh, yes. Like I said. Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
No worries, mate. Love the show.
Bye-bye, bye. Thank you.
Could we diplomatically say a perfectionist?
A perfectionist, yeah, that's right. One of the most interesting facts I found in this book is that Sissy Houston, Whitney Houston's mum, is one of the backup singers of Mother and Child Reunion. That's good for a quiz. Put that in your back pocket for a quiz night. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I got to know him. I feel like I got to know more of his personality actually in that documentary, but it's just like easy to read, cold hard facts. It's Father's Day in 3 weeks, if that's what your dad's into.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. What's it called? Paul Simon?
The Life.
The Life.
Yeah. I thought the ending was quite interesting in terms that he talked about how he worked with them and how it was a bit cagey at points, but that's to be expected.
At the end he told you that.
Yeah, at the end.
I just don't feel like he told me everything. Well, thanks for making me read your whole book before you told me that. When you call something The Life, it's a big call.
Yeah.
The Life.
Yeah, do you guys know much about Harper Simon, his son?
No.
I just found these really
just know
weird.
No, nothing about Harper Simon, actually.
Weird interviews with him and Con Moccasin. Like, he had like.
Again,
this
with
the
Con Moccasin!
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
I'm starting to think that there are multiple Con Moccasins out there.
I think he's just quite busy.
Okay. Good on you, Con. Represent. In a funny sort of way.
Okay, but let's play a song from
this is
Graceland.
From Graceland. Only Paul knows. He knows what he knows.
There's a song about his nose. Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
She looked me over and I guess she thought I was all right. All right in a sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I've said what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep in the back of my head. I know what I know. I've said what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep in the back of my head. It really reminds me of money. She was the kind of girl that could say things that weren't that funny. I said, what does that mean? I really remind you of money. She said, oh, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I've seen what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep in the back of my head. I know what I know. I've seen what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep. She moved so easily, all I could think of was sunlight. I said, aren't you the woman who was recently given a Fulbright? She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I've seen what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I do in the back of my head. I know what I know. I've seen what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I do in the back of my head.
Get into a bit of Fine Young Cannibals and chuck on some Tony Childs, some Debbie Gibson. Hey, yeah.
That was Loose Reads.